And for today's sermon, I want to zoom in particularly to the character that a lot of us we are familiar with. His name is Elijah. Could I invite all of us in the count of three to read this text together out loud? All right? 3, 2, 1. Then Elijah was afraid, and he arose and ran for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. Could I invite all of us to close our eyes, bow our heads as I start us off with prayer? Holy Spirit, we invite you into our midst. And time again, we ask that you come and do what only you can do. Let this not be a psychological talk. Let this be a powerful sermon because your Spirit is speaking to us. Through me into each of our hearts. This I pray, come and do what you can do. In Jesus' name. Everybody say, amen. Who is Elijah? Elijah is a prophet, a very prominent prophet in a time where Israel, the people of God, were very far from God. They were rebelling against God and they pursued these other gods called Baal and Asherah. And you could read the story and it was a terrible time. In fact, Elijah was in a time where the rulers of Israel went by the name of King Ahab and Queen Jezebel. And you would find that in the scripture, how they describe King Ahab was this. There was no other king that came before him that was more evil than King Ahab. Elijah was a prophet delivering the word of God in a very evil time. And many people, again, Israel was deserting God. And there was this moment where Elijah confronted the prophets of Baal, the evil god Baal. And it was a spectacular miracle. Those of you who know the story, you would know. Elijah sort of challenged them, set up this animal sacrifice. And he says, why not you pray to Baal to call down fire and burn this sacrifice? And the prophets of Baal, well, they cried out to their God and they did all sorts of things. And guess what? Nothing happened. And now came Elijah's turn. And when Elijah came and he prayed to God, he prayed to Yahweh, true enough, the story goes, a magnificent miracle happened. Fire came down and burned the animal sacrifice. And people were in shock, in awe. And the story continues. Right immediately after that, Elijah got all the prophets of Baal and he executed all of them. What a spectacular moment. Try to put yourself in Elijah's shoe. The people of God, Israel, has abandoned God, following this other god called Baal. And right now, through this miracle, Elijah has just shown all of Israel which is the real God. Yahweh is the real God, not Baal. Yahweh is the real God. And you can imagine at that moment, what could Elijah be expecting? Maybe he's expecting everybody now to repent of their ways and to come back to God. They've just seen a spectacular miracle. But right after that, what happened? Instead of Israel coming back to God, Elijah receives a death threat from the queen. Hold up. What other signs do you need? What other miracle do you need? I literally prayed and God brought fire down. What else do you need to know that Yahweh is real? And somehow after all of that, he received a death threat. How do you think Elijah would feel? I bet he felt disappointed. In fact, I think he felt defeated. That's why, how do we respond? We read, he ran away afraid. Well, some of us, to put it into our context, there might be moments where we felt like that, where we put in all that we can, we did all that we can, but somehow the outcome is far from what we hope. Some of you here, you have been working really hard for that promotion. You have been doing the best that you can, and somehow your boss just hires in someone else instead of giving you that promotion that you have been really longing for. And you just feel so crushed. For some of you, it could be trying to appease your supervisors, your clients. You are changing again your produce. And no matter what you do, they are just not satisfying. And you feel defeated. For some of you, parents here, It could be like you telling your kid again and again, you give them the same advice, you pray for them, but months later, years later, they are still not listening and you feel so downhearted. For some of us, this would be like us praying for healing for a loved one. And we pray and we pray and we pray, and somehow the healing does not come. I bet seated here, there might be times you and I, we felt like that before. We have done all that we can, prayed all that we can, but somehow the outcome is still so far from what we hope for. How will you feel? Wouldn't you agree? Defeated? Broken? Down? That might be the words that we use. And how did Elijah respond in a time like that? Well, he was afraid. And he arose and ran for his life and came to Beersheba. Remember, what's the occupation of Elijah? He's a prophet. A prophet is one that is supposed to deliver God's word to his people, and he ran away from that. He ran away. He was supposed to be there telling people what God would say, but he ran away. He shrank back. And he did not just shrink back from his responsibilities. You'll find later on, he left his servant behind and went on his own on a day's journey to the wilderness and sat under a broom tree. He did not just run away from his responsibilities. He ran away from people as well. And I realize sometimes in a moment like that, wouldn't you agree with me? We withdraw. We'll withdraw. We'll withdraw from things that we need to do, from people that we are supposed to meet, from family, from loved ones, from ministry. We'll withdraw. I recall a conversation with a friend of mine who, due to certain matters, was in depression. And for 2 years, this friend of mine was under medication. And it was really severe. He was really down, really broken. And he told me this. He said, Jason, at that period of time, in that 2 years, I tell you, every time when it came to work matters, my simple response is, can we postpone? Can we postpone? Can we postpone? And Jason, I would be getting different project offers coming to me. But in that 2 years, I kept on rejecting because, Jason, at that time, I couldn't bring myself to do it. I couldn't bring myself to work. I couldn't bring myself to meet people. He withdrew from life. Wouldn't you agree with me? Sometimes when we go through a season like that, we will withdraw, shrink back, hide ourselves. Elijah went through a moment like that. What happened when Elijah withdrew? I'm so glad that God didn't just abandon him and say, you know what, if you withdraw, I'm not going to find you. Instead, we read that when he lay down and slept under a broom tree, behold, an angel touched him and said to him, arise and eat. It's true that some of us, we will withdraw in times like that. It's natural for some of us. Withdraw from life groups, church, and whatnot. But I remember the late Pastor Tim would often say this, you are never too far from the reach of God. Elijah, even as he withdrew, God found him there. And today, for all of you who are going through a difficult time and you find yourself withdrawing, maybe some of you are tuning in online right now because that's you. You have withdrawn. My encouragement for all of us is this, God can still find you. That story of my friend who went through depression and for 2 years had medication. A few weeks before his 30th birthday, he told God, God, I'm going to give this whole thing that I'm going through, one last chance. One last chance, God. One last chance. And somehow, God just brought a new connection of a psychologist and changed a little bit of the treatment. And he told me this. He said, Jason, what I suffered and withdrew for 2 years, in 2 weeks, suddenly he just felt himself set free and he has been off medications for almost half a decade. Set free. God found him even as he withdrew. God can find you. God can find me even in times when we withdraw. Could you turn to your neighbor left and right and say, God can find you? And the story continues. Well, Elijah looked and behold, and there was at his head a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. And he ate and drank and lay down again. And I was speaking to some students. I said, you know, there might be times we are like this. We wake up, we eat, and then we go back to sleep. And then the students say, yeah, my parents will say I'm very lazy if I do that. Well, maybe as a kid, you'll say that's lazy. But when a grown man, when a grown-up adult who is fully capable, fully functioning, enters into a state like that, you know that man, you know that woman is not just lazy. Most likely he's so worn out that even after waking up, even after eating, they can't help but find themselves so drained, almost needing to go back to sleep all over again. I recall a time like that actually quite recently. Last year, we had a great teens camp. There were many people, and any of you who serve in teens camp, you would know, after camp, you are so drained and tired. So physically, I was really tired. And those of you who received my text thereafter, you would know that on my way back from the campsite, I got COVID. I realized I started to feel a bit sick. The moment I reached home, I tested myself and I got COVID, and I got the full symptoms of COVID-19, right? So I was bedridden, and there I was telling God, did we not just serve you and we saw so many teens impacted? God, couldn't you protect me from a simple COVID-19? I was just complaining to God. And I was feeling so tired, so worn out. But at the same time, I was applying for a house loan, a bank house loan. And there were some complications with just the nature of what I do and all that. And after multiple tries, we could not get the house loan. And I tell you that 1 week, right out the camp, physically drained. And then COVID, and now this house loan thing, I tell you, I was so worn out. You know, thereafter, my family and I, we went to Genting and we would be sitting roller coasters. I enjoy roller coasters. It's supposed to be the place that should energize me. But I recall sitting at roller coaster and feeling, boy, I'm so tired. Guys, I'm sitting on a roller coaster, you know. I was so worn out. And of course, different people prayed, different people said different things to me. But at that time, nothing could bring that energy and fire back to me. I don't know if you've ever felt like that, where something happened or maybe a series of things happened and you just feel so drained. Elijah felt so drained. You know, I'm glad that when Elijah slept back, God didn't come and slap me and say, hey, wake up, are you so lazy, are you? No, don't do that. Instead, the angel of the Lord came again a second time, touched him, and said what? Arise and eat. And he did not judge him, did not criticize him, but instead says, for the journey is too great for you. And Elijah arose and ate and drank, and he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the Mount of God. I find so much comfort knowing that even when Elijah was worn out, God fed him anyways. And for some of us, this feeding may not be literal food. Sometimes God feeds us in different ways to energize us back up. And I discovered mine. During that moment where I felt so drained, so low, and those who were close to me, I would meet them and the same thing I would repeat to them again and again for weeks. I would just tell them, guys, I feel so tired. And I don't know why. I just can't do anything. And I had that season, but what brought energy back was this one moment when I saw a younger leader come and tell me, you know, Jason, today I had a little bit of a free time. So I scheduled to meet this student here at this time, and then thereafter this student, and then thereafter this student, and then they had like four back-to-back different discipleship events. You know, it's odd, but that fed me. That brought energy back to me. And I'll tell you why. Now as I process through, because we saw, or at least I saw, the fruit of discipleship. And that brought so much life back into me. When I was worn out, beaten down, tired, God found a way to feed me anyways. And in the same way, if right now you are feeling so drained, so tired, my comfort for you is that God can find a way to feed you still. Can you turn to your neighbor left and right and say, God can feed you. And here's where we go to sort of like a third part of this story. He ate and drank and went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the Mount of God. Most historians and scholars, they will look at this statement and think it's very odd. Why is it odd? Because from where Elijah was at all the way to the Mount of God, even if you walk very slowly, at best you need 8 days to 12 days, not 40 days, 40 nights. 40 was a very significant duration. Who else had this 40 kind of a duration in a wilderness? Israel. Didn't they wander 40 years in the wilderness? Who else had a 40 kind of a time period in the wilderness? Jesus. Do you realize this ain't just about a duration? It's a significant word. And when you think about Israel, you think about Jesus, this 40 days and 40 nights of wandering in the wilderness, I can almost equate it. In fact, a commentary words it this way. It's a trial of faith moment. Wouldn't you agree with me that if you went through whatever Elijah went through, besides withdrawing, besides being really worn out, your faith might also be shaken? When you do all that you can and somehow you don't get the promotion that you want, when you do all that you can but somehow your supervisors and your clients are not satisfied, when you do all that you can but somehow your kid doesn't listen, and when you pray all that you can and somehow the healing does not come, wouldn't you agree with me? Our faith gets a little bit shaken. It's a trial of faith moment. And for Elijah, what does this trial of faith look like for him? Well, you find that he tells God, I have been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts. To put it into our layman term, he's basically telling God, God, I have loved you. I've served you. And what else does he say? He says, for the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. He's telling God, God, I have loved you. I've honored you. All the other people of Israel, well, they rebelled against you. They disobeyed you. They dishonored you. Yet why is it that these people who do not love you get to kill the people who love you? How is this fair? Do you see it now? Do you hear it? God, why is it that the people that love you are dying and the people that hate you don't? That's not fair. Why is it that good people have to die, but somehow bad people get to live on and seemingly live such successful lives? God, that's not fair. God, what else can I do? I prayed and prayed and prayed, and somehow this other family who may not even be out of faith, things may be going better for them. Yet, God, why is it that after praying, nothing happened? God, that's not fair. Where's the justice in all of this? And what else? And he says, and I, even I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. If there were two things that Elijah might have been wrestling through in this trial of faith moment, it might have been injustice and aloneness. Those two might have been the things that really shook Elijah's faith in this wandering in the wilderness moment for him. And I believe seated here, depending on what you have went through, certain things would have shaken your faith, shaken my faith. God, can you really heal? God, can you really come true for me? God, do you really love me? Or God, have you forsaken me? You know, one of our students who graduated and now is a young adult was sharing me how when this young professional went into the working space, was offered a particular position, was really excited, really looking forward to it. But 1 week in, the supervisor changed the position all of a sudden, gave something that was really unfavorable to this person and made the life of this, well, new professional, young professional so miserable. And this young working adult would tell me, Jason, I would be crying out to God. God, have you forsaken me? Have you abandoned me? And this went on for 6 months, just telling God, God, why is all this happening? God, isn't this a job that you offered and you are going to be with me? You're going to help me through. But why is it day after day, I feel like such a failure. And I feel like you're not with me. You're not helping me at all, God. Where are you? And it was a very faith-shaken moment. And for some of us, we feel like that. Things have shaken our faith a little bit. And when Elijah was going there, you know what did God say to him? I find this so precious. God says to him, go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And Jehu the son of Nimshi, you shall anoint Israel. And Elisha the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah, you shall anoint to be prophet in your place. Now, I've heard people preach about this sermon. And they talk about how, you know, Elijah was recommissioned back into the mission and all that. And was able to still the role of a prophet, you know, and all that. That's great and all, but significant than that. Because some of us may not know, it was Syria that at that time was called Aram, who eventually brought the death of the evil king, King Ahab. And it was Jehu who eventually brought about the death of the evil queen, Jezebel. Do you realize this wasn't just about sending Elijah back into his role as a prophet? This was God declaring, Elijah, I'm just. Elijah, I'm fair. The one who escapes from the sword of Hazael shall Jehu put to death, and the one who escapes from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha put to death. God revealed his character of justice and fairness. Those who rebel against God, who brought people away from God, justice will be served. It wasn't just about Elijah. It was really God revealing his character to Elijah. And what else? He says, yet I will leave 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him. God comforted Elijah. When Elijah felt so alone, God says, you are not alone. And it's not just something like God says, I'm with you, good enough, right? No, no, no. He says, there are actually other people who love Yahweh, 7,000 other people. You are not alone. Even when Elijah was in his wandering in the wilderness moment where faith was shaken, you know, my greatest comfort is this, God fixed him. God realigned his perspective, strengthened his faith, allowed him to look at God's character and the truth of things, that he is not alone. And for this young working adult that I was talking to, while this young working adult was in that faith-shaken moment, this young working adult came across a Bible verse that a lot of us are familiar with. That even when we are faithless, not faithful, God remains faithful. And this young professional concluded in this simple way, you know what? I realize I'm struggling in my faith right now. But God, thank you that even when I struggle with my faith, you are faithful. And that simple realignment and shift allowed this person to persevere for the next 6 months. And now, eventually, this person, a new position was given in the same company, and this person would say, Jason, now I'm in a better place. But how did this person persevere? Because God fixed this young working professional's faith kind of a lens. And in the same way, if you are in your wilderness moment, my comfort for you is that God can fix you even at that spot. Could you turn to your neighbor left and right and say, God can fix you. And what happened after that? Elijah departed, found Elisha, and basically appointed him. Elijah bounced back into the mission, back into the call of God. Our hope, even as we go through this Made Whole series, it's true we will go through our wilderness moment where we withdraw, we are worn out, and our faith is shaken. Yes, that is real, but I hope we will all have this statement in the end. How we were able to bounce back into the call and race that God has for us. But now the final question, and I'm ending the sermon. The final question is this. But Jason, that sounds great and all. But why are there times that when we withdraw, we are worn out and we wonder, why are there times where it almost seems like God does not find us, feeders or fixers. Great for Elijah. Great for your friend. Great for you. Great for that young working adult. But that's not true for everyone, right, Jason? Why? Why is it that sometimes it feels like God does not rescue us? What makes Elijah so different? You know, when Elijah went to the Lord and in his wandering of faith moment, there was this very interesting passage, and a lot of us are familiar with this, where God tells Elijah, go out and stand on the mount before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. How many of you would agree, if God says, I'm passing by, and if you see a strong wind breaking rocks, you say, that must be God. I would, just logically speaking, I would say, that must be God. Sometimes I blow a candle and the fire does not go out. There's a wind breaking rocks, guys. But somehow Elijah knew God was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, come on, God has to be in the fire. But somehow Elijah knew God was not in the fire. And then came a low whisper. Elijah knew God's calling. You know, if right now someone is standing behind my back and he calls out to me, Jason. And if it's a stranger, I tell you, 10 out of 10, I wouldn't know who that person is. But if it's my dad calling, if it's my fiancé calling, if it's my close friends calling, wouldn't you agree with me? I would recognize their voice. Elijah recognized the voice of God. And what does recognizing the voice tell us? I'm close to my dad. I'm close to my fiancé. I'm close to those friends. And in the same way, if Elijah recognized the voice of the Lord, do you realize that even though Elijah withdrew, worn out, and wandered, he was actually still close to God all the time? Even in that moment where he was far away from his responsibilities, far away from people, he remained close to God. Even when he was so drained, so tired, so worn out, he was still close to God. Even when his faith was shaken, he was still close to God. That's why when God called, he recognized. And in the same way, when I think about my friend who wrestled with depression and was on medication, when I think about my own season of being worn out, when I think about that young professional who was in that difficult season in work, the one common trait, when I look back, somehow in that low season, we found our way to still be close to God. How, Jason? How? Your faith is already shaken. How do you remain close to God? If I could leave all of us, this is my last slide. Oh, sorry, second last slide. Never mind, I'll skip to my last slide. We cried out to God. When we isolated ourselves, we never isolated ourselves from God. When we were drained, I tell God so many times, every day I wake up, God, I'm feeling so tired today. Oh God, I don't want to do anything today. And when this young professional was going through that difficult season, oh, she cried out to God again and again and again. In your difficult season, would you remain close to God by crying out to Him anyways? And I trust if you do, He will find you. I trust that when you do, He will feed you. And I trust that when you do, He will fix you. Could I invite all of us now to close our eyes as I pray? God, we thank you for the story of Elijah. And truly, as the New Testament writes, Elijah is a man with a nature like ours. He's just like us. He gets afraid. He withdraws. He gets worn out. His faith gets shaken. But somehow, even when he went through all that, he remained close to you. And in the same way, God, help us to remain close to you. Help us to remain close to you. And eventually, we will be able to tell the story of how you found us, how you fed us, and how you fixed us, and how after all of that, we bounce back into the call that you have for us. Let that be our story, a story of us being made whole through you. In Jesus' name, and everybody say, amen.